Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, where we read The Narrow Road Between Desires page by page and then talk about it. This is page number 150. Page 149 was a picture. Her, an easy grin. His eyes were dark and smiling and bluer than the sky. Nettie shook her head. When she looked down, loose curls of dark hair fell partly across her face. I can't think of anything, she said. I'm a dab hand with honey, too, Bass said, hoisting the axe to rest against his naked shoulder. She looked a little puzzled at that until Bass nodded toward the mismatched hives scattered across the overgrown field. Oh, she said, as if remembering a half-forgotten dream. I used to do candles and honey, but we lost a few hives to that bad winter 3 years back. Then one to knits. Then there was that wet spring, and three more went down with the chalk before we even knew. She shrugged. Early this summer, we sold one to the Hessels so we'd have money for the levy. She shook her head again, as if she'd been daydreaming. She shrugged and turned back to look at Bast. Do you know about bees? A fair bit, Bast said softly. They aren't hard to handle. They just need patience and gentleness, he said casually. He casually swung the axe so it stuck in the nearby stump. They're the same as everything else, really. They just want to know they're safe. That's the page. I'm Joy.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nick. It's hard to shake the accusation that this is a sexy scene in this one. Are you sure there's nothing else I can help you with? Oh, I do miss a little sweetness.
It's sexual, but it's also, maybe it could also just be that nice kind of sweet flirtation that isn't, maybe if it doesn't go anywhere, is just kind of, I guess, kind of like Fella says to Sim, a little harmless flirting makes you feel good. But you're saying that this is going to go further than that.
Well, I'm not saying that because I've read the book and I know kind of where, I know that this is setting something up. At least I think it's left to the reader's imagination. You know what? I'm violating the core tenet, so I will go no further.
It's okay, Nick, and I'll take over. In the lightning tree, he doesn't come back with the carrots. So we
are you suggesting the carrots got used?
Have made no such suggestions.
Oh no. I'm not interested in soup anymore.
Wow, that got dark.
So I think with the, and again, I'm actually not sure if you've got there yet, but like with Emberly, there's the expectation set up that Bast is doing a lech buying Emberly's location, but it turns out that Emberly sold her location with the hope that Bast would discover it. And so there's this like, oh, all this stuff I read prior that made me go, huh, has been recontextualized. And I think that this scene has a similar recontextualization later, but I will say no more of it.
On the actual page, it's kind of cute with the little like honey talk and the like being nice to the bees. They just want to know they're safe. Like, it's definitely like you could read it as Bast playing dumb or flirting.
And I think that's what he's offering her, like more than anything else, more than the explicit invitation for a tryst. It's you have a figure here who wants nothing of you, is not threatening you or your children, and is just like doing some work and helping you feel safe. Like, I think maybe that's the subtext, and or you know, if it's not the subtext, you don't have to look too far for it. And maybe that's kind of where the flirtation comes. He's like become this like surrogate husband figure for the length of time it takes him to chop 6 carats worth of wood. Because I think the juxtaposition between Quoth and the absent Jessam, Quoth Bast and the absent Jessam, like bears mentioning, like that's where he that's kind of the role he's taken on, I think. Or at least you could read it that way. One might read it that way.
One might. And one could. But should one? I was going to ask some questions that our friend Bill looked up here in our internal mind hive that we all share. We plugged Nick into. Nits are mites infecting the hive, or nits, sorry. And then going down with the chalk is a fungal infection. So they've really had some hard times with these beehives. And then they had to sell one.
Now I have to offer my sincere apologies to Nate Taylor, who is in fact a visionary and a scholar, because what he drew on the previous page was in fact the axe embedded in the stump that happens at the bottom of this page. So I take it all back. Truly, you are a tremendous talent.
Yes, sir.
So what you're saying is that the problem is actually with whoever made the book putting the illustration on the wrong
yes,
page.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm calling you out, typesetter. Johann Gutenberg, you have a lot to answer for.
Not Gutenberg. I wanted to point out that Bass says he's a dab hand with honey, which is like Coat tells Chronicler he's a dab hand with pudding when he's kind of, when Chronicler is kind of questioning him, I think, about making pie. Like, why are you making, no, maybe that's not it. But anyway, I think.
I'm a dab hand. He does say I'm a dab hand with something.
It's like, what do you want? Hot or cold? Soup or stew? I'm a dab hand at pudding too.
Dab hand with pudding too. Yeah, that fits the meter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe he picked it up from Quoth, or maybe it's just one of those things that authors do where they use the same turn of phrase.
And also dab is, you can dab honey. So that's a little joke. Cute. Little dab of honey. Do a dollop of daisy.
Just a dab will do ya.
Just a dab will do ya. Only daisy cottage cheese will do. Sometimes those jingles really get in my craw.
Okay, hang on a second. I gotta talk about this. I was driving around the other day and there was an add-on for Subway, and it was like, you can get a 6-inch sub for $5. And I was like, Subway, you spent more money than God to make sure that I had the $5 foot long song in my head for the rest of my life. Don't act like you think you're doing me a favor by selling me a 6-inch sub for the same price as what you were selling a foot long sub for like 2 years ago. You can't do this to me, Subway. You think I'm an idiot?
That's fraudulent behavior.
That's right. Subway, the most reputable company imaginable.
It is. Reputable, healthy.
Yep, they weren't. No, we don't have to get into the whole Jared conversation. I don't want to inject Jared into someone else's podcast.
And the tuna is really tuna. Trust me on that. Joy, what's your favorite tuna salad from a sandwich shop? Well, just screwing around.
I'm a vegetarian.
Okay. Oh, so you could definitely have the tuna from Subway.
And I don't really eat at Subway.
John, your mic's on, Goofy. You're not even on this episode. Giggle. That was John giggling.
I almost felt like Nick had listened, not to get too political, but that he had listened to the State of the Union, because this was very like the discussion about the bags of potato chips.
anyway. I didn't. I can't bear to listen to politician speeches. I just read the analysis later. But so sadly, I didn't do that. Sure. There's one thing. There's one final thing I want to talk about. So I want to make sure all the other Please. Notes
yes.
are mentioned.
Yes.
So at the top of the page, there's something hidden in plain sight that I want to point out and dive into. The line is, his eyes were dark and smiling and bluer than the sky. This is, of course, proof that Bast has been on the planet of Arrakis, imbibing the spice melange. He has been riding Shai Hulud, the maker. He has been alongside Muad'Dib in his jihad against the Padishah Emperor. He is, in fact, a Fremen. Thank you.
That was probably a little off key, but I ain't seen the movies, but I heard the music.
It was a remarkably good imitation of the
Thank you.
The trailer music. I gotta go see it.
In this, on the actual book, we do have several different colors for Bast's eyes, so I think that's a good catch. I didn't notice it before.
Oh, good to. I haven't been paying attention. I've just been having on a Dune kick, so.
Yeah, I'm here for the Dune. Also, just pointing out that in that whole scene that we get like three or four times, we get different descriptions of his eyes as well.
Yeah, they also, in his eyes were dark. I kind of know what this means, but this is kind of a book trope. I feel like where it's like his eyes darkened or his eyes, you know, his eyes look dark. But, and they're also bluer than the sky. Like, what is, what? How do you interpret that?
Yeah.
Dark as in, like, I guess, mischievous and, like, sexy?
Yeah, I was thinking it was kind of like bedroom eyes.
Yeah, I guess that's what it means.
Yeah, I made my position clear. He has drunk the water of life. He is seeing all possible futures.
Oh, God.
He is communing with his sister, yet unborn.
Wow. And listeners, may thy knife chip and shatter on tomorrow's narrow page.
Ah!
Oh, my God. Who let him?